Good evening, Mr. Shem. We're going to discuss the sugya on Kuf Chaf Vav that the Chelik the Bechor has in the Chassim before Chalukah. There are a bunch of different machlokes and different issues to discuss, so let's start with the Gemara Rishim at the top. Okay. So it says, this is the very top line, Amar of Huna, Amar of Asi, Bechor Shemicha, Micha, Amar Rabba, Yisavar, Taimid Rav Asi, Banavim, the Batshim, Zaysim, and Maskim. Well, drachim lo. Yosef amra filu drachim. Drachim? Lekar invi hashtachamra, amra avut maruk, ravukra, varham, elitim, odim mehezek, anovim, and so forth. So, we have a case here in the Gemara that there's a Yerusha of some grapes. And there are other rather Yerushamim, there's a Bechor included among them. And if the Bechor does a Mechah, the Rashbam, the Rishonim, says the Bechor does a Mechah. Let's say that the other Yerushamim want to be boats here. They want to pluck the grapes. They want to harvest the grapes. The Bechor is mocha, whatever that means, his mocha is meaningful. And then if the Bechor, and afterwards if the Yisomim want to then take the grapes that have been harvested and plucked off the vines and want to make them into grape juice or into wine, then if he's mocha, the mocha is a good mocha and so forth. Machlokas Rabban Ravasi, what it means. But let's discuss how the Rishonim interpret this sugya, just to get some clarity, Rishonim. So, the first part we have again is when the Yisomim are going to harvest the grapes, pluck them off the vines, the Bechor is mocha. So what is this mocha doing? What does it mean, these mocha? So Rashbam says that the mocha here, the Bechor is saying, before you guys, my brothers, before you go ahead and you pluck the grapes off the vines, you harvest them, I'm hereby declaring a kinyan in them. Because the Bechor has the right to acquire a kinyan in his chelik Bechorah anytime he wants. Even before the chalukah, they later eventually do a chalukah, they physically divide the property. Before that, the Bechor has the right to do a mocha, which means to create a chalukah orally, mentally. He can claim, stake a claim in that property, the chelik b'chor, anytime he wants. Wow. Like the Gemara says in Kuf Chaf Dalad, that the chelik b'chor is called a matana. Therefore, Rashbam says the b'chor can claim a chelik in the chasim, in this case the grapes, anytime he wants. And what happens if he does that? Let's say he claims, he sees he's someone about to pluck the harvest of grapes, and he says, I'm claiming a chelik in the grapes, he's mochi, he claims a chelik. The benefit is like this. The Bechor, the way that Rosh Hashanah say, does not get the shevach, the shvach, especially the shvach that comes the adayim, if someone creates the shvach. However, if someone are about to pluck the grapes, and the Bechor is mochi, says, I claim a stake in these grapes, I claim it's my chelik Bechorah right now. Therefore, if someone go ahead and they pluck the grapes, they don't give the Bechor the grapes, the ones that are his, that she should have. Go ahead and they ignore them and they pluck them anyway, the Rashbam says. They pluck them so at their own risk. Grapes that are harvested are more valuable than grapes that are still on the vine. It costs money to harvest them, cost effort or labor or money, whatever. And therefore, if they go ahead and they ignore his mechorah, then they are giving benefit to him. Even though it's really the grapes, he has a chelik in the grapes, they're saying, we know you have a chelik in the grapes. We're going to harvest them anyway, even though your grapes are going to harvest them. Therefore, they are giving him the chelik of harvested grapes. They were giving him shvach, the benefit of the grapes being harvested. He only had the right to grapes that were not harvested. But they're taking the risk, so to say, giving the shvach to him, and that's how it works. That's what the mecha does. It gives him a kinyan. And so too, the Rashbam says, if the Bechor claims the chelik in these grapes beforehand, let's say that the Yisomim say, we're going to go further. Now we're going to take the harvested grapes, we're going to make them into wine, crush them into wine. So they crush them into wine. The way that the Gemara concludes here is that even if the wine spills or turns the vinegar, is less value, gets spoiled, somehow the value that appreciates in the wine, once the Bechor claims his chelik in the grapes, he's locked in his chelik. Let's say the grapes are worth $100 of vineyard of grapes. And the grapes, once they're harvested, are worth $150. When they pluck them and they make them into wine, the wine turns, spoils or spills, it's worth $20. So he claimed that when the Bechor made a mechor, when he made a claim, let's take the claim in these grapes, he claimed that he had a kinyan while they were grapes. Therefore, even though the Yisomim later on crushed the grapes, made them into wine, which spilled or spoiled or was lower quality, whatever it is, and it's worth only $20, since it was worth much more money when it was grapes originally, the Bechor has a kinyan of that money, that value. He's locked a kinyan of that value into the grape. Therefore, even if it turns into wine and spoils, it doesn't matter. He still retains the higher value because he already has a kinyan in these grapes. And later on, even though they changed them, they made them to wine, it doesn't make a difference. It was Shinui Kone. He had a chelik. They went ahead. They stole his chelik. It was worth $100, $150, whatever it was worth. And they have to pay him that value when the wine depreciates in terms of $20 cheapo wine or vinegar, whatever it is. If there's anything that's unclear, please tell me. I know last time I was a little bit fascinated. That's what the Rashbam means, the sugya, basically. Again, the Bechor has a chelik. When he claims it, the Bechor means he gets a chelik whatever he wants. And whatever happens to it later on, he can only benefit. and if it depreciates, they go ahead and they do a shinoi, they crush them into wine, since he already has a chelik, they stole his chelik, they must pay him the full value of his original chelik, of his chelik. That's the Rashbam. Rabbeinu Chananel, which the Rashbam quotes, has a radically different approach in the sugya. He says like this. He says, let's read Rabbeinu Chananel. A lot of the Rashbam is, if we spend time reading it, the chibur will be over. We don't have time to explain anything, but Rabbeinu Chananel is a short piece the Rashbam explains. This is the Rabbeinu Chananel. It's in the Rashbam, the long Gibra Maska, Amar Rabba, Stav Ramilsi Ravasi. It's the end of that Gibra Maska. It says, it reads like this. He quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. This is the fifth wide line in the Rashbam, fifth wide line in the middle. Rabbeinu Chananel Piresh, Bechor Shemicha, Ba'amar Eini Mevatar, Chelik Becholi. So they were about to crush the grapes, and he's about to pluck the grapes, harvest them. He says, "I'm not mevater. I'm keeping the chelik b'chor dayo. That's fine." So before harvesting the grapes, he says, "Hey! I have a chelik in these grapes. That's a good mechah, and that's fine. Whatever that means, that's fine." That's only if he was moch and they harvest the grapes. They just plucked them. They seem in Moscow where his olives, and they picked them off the tree. Who but if they actually crushed the grapes or these olives into wine or into grape juice, the chilku, the lo micha, and then they went ahead and they divided them up afterwards, and the bechor was not moche. Peter, he was mevater. So they mentioned the bechor lost his share. If they go ahead and they crush these grapes or olives, we can talk about, into wine or into olive oil, the bechor was not moche. He did not say, don't crush them. He said, hey, I have a share in there. I don't give you permission to tamper with it because I have a share in this stuff. He failed to say that, and they went ahead and they crushed them anyway, and crushed them whatever and so forth, and they're mechalik, and he was not imam moche, he was mevater. He lost his share. That's the Rabbeinu Chananel. He lost his share. And Rashbam brings a few good kashas on Rabbeinu Chananel. The first kasha especially seems to be very strong. How can this be? How can you say the Bechor lost his share? You can only be Mavatra. The Gemara below the Tudah, second half of the Samud, says if the Bechor, says, he only takes the chelik pashut. He fails to claim the chelik b'chorah. He just fails to claim it. So that's an implicit mechila, mechila vitur. He was a vater on the chelik b'chorah. So dividing up, he has two chalakim. He only claims one chelik, and he just walks away silently. So he implicitly is mevater, he's mokel on the chelik b'chorah. That's what the Rabbeinu Chananel says. That's when a vitur works. And you can say, hey, he was mevater, he was mokel his share. But here, they crushed the stuff, they crushed the grapes or the olives into wine or olive oil, and he didn't, and the fact that he didn't speak up and protest against it is not a vitur. A vitur is only if he walks away and lets them take a share and let, that he didn't claim. But here he didn't let them take anything. He didn't go ahead and say, I'm taking a share and letting you take it, and implicitly letting you take the rest. He didn't do that. So how is this a vitur? The second kashi says, we didn't even get to the idea of vitur yet. The Rabbeinu Chananel, Rashbam says, how can Rabbeinu Chananel talk about vitur? But we have to explain Rabbeinu Chananel. Why does Rabbeinu Chananel hold? How can he hold that by just the Yisomim crushing the olives or the grapes, let's say, into grape juice or olive oil, that itself implies a vitur? How can that be? So the chor, the idea is it was a machlok shir bashmen chananel what the chelik b'chor is, and then the Torah gives the b'chor a chelik in the nechassim. What is that chelik? So Rashbam seems pashut in Rashbam that chelik b'chor is somehow contained within the nechassim. And the Yerusha is a chelik b'chor. It's undefined. It's not yet claimed. Let's say it's before the people claimed it. Somehow within that nechassim there is a chelik b'chor. We don't know. We don't identify it yet. It's not defined. The parameters, we don't know. We don't know how much value it is. But it's somewhere floating around, and they're undefined, and the Bechor at any time can claim it. That's the Rashbam. In a Chanan L'Chor holds that the Bechor just is a chus. He has the right, whatever he wants. It might be able to, and he maybe can't take it yet, but he has the right to say, maybe B'Shas HaChuluk, he can say, I'm getting a Chelik Bechor. Give me the Chelik Bechor, please. I claim the Chelik Bechor. That Chelik Bechor is just as a chus. It's not part of the Nechassim. It's not, let's say there are 12 Yisomim, let's say. We don't say, oh, there are really 13 Chalakim somehow undefined floating around. The Rashbam says there are 13 Chalakim. Every Yisom gets one Chelik and the Bechor gets another Chelik. It's floating around undefined. You can claim it at any time. The Chalak says, no. There are basically 12 Chalakim, if you want to say it that way. But the Bechor can go ahead and demand, totally like to demand, to claim, give me a Chelik out of this. Also, all he has to do is a Chus Tavia. He has nothing more. Therefore, if they go ahead and they tamper with his property, with the property, the Yerushin, he fails to speak up, That is a vitor. The chor lechta, that's a vitor. If he has a share in it, like Rashbam says, that there's no vitor because he has a share. He has a chelik already in the nechasim. So there's no such thing as a vitor. The share exists, whether it's unharvested grapes, harvested grapes, whether it's wine, he has a share in that stuff. And if Chanan says, he has no share, he says there's a chus ha'tayna, a chus ha'tviyah, to be taveya, a share in it. But he right now has nothing, just has a chus ha'tayna. If they tamper with it and he doesn't exercise his chus ha'tayna, that's an implicit vitur. That's a beta Chanan. That's why it's so easily removed. If they liquidate it, so to say, liquefy it, literally in this case, and he fails to speak up, they've destroyed the property. It's like a person has a set of property and they let somebody watch and destroy it and he fails to speak up, so maybe owing something, but they're not speaking up. He's permitting something. That's the idea here. He has no share in it. He says it's chus tavia, it's chus taina. They go ahead and liquidate it. That's an implicit vitor. I think that's what Rabbi Nachman was holding. There is a machlokus though, following off this, that between the Rashbam and many other Rishonim about the Bechor's claim. As we see here, it's very clear in the Rashbam, and the Ritva holds the same way. The Ran, the Rashba hold the same way also. But the Bechor can claim his chelik in the Yerusha anytime he wants. And let's say the chaluk doesn't take place a year after the Yisomim received the estate. They're going to wait a second year, wait for the Yort side, then they're going to distribute the estate. However, the Bechor, these Rishonim, King Rashbam say, anytime he wants, since it's chelik Bechor is a matan, anytime he wants, he can claim the chelik Bechor. He can say, anytime he wants, give me my chelik now, and it becomes his. He doesn't have to wait for chaluk. He can claim whatever he wants. It's called a matana, the Gemara says. Matana karyer achlani, he can claim whatever he wants. He doesn't follow the regular rules of chalukah. The Rambam, though, the Rambam says, he doesn't accept this idea at all. The Rambam does not have this idea that the Bechor can go ahead and claim the Bechor anytime he wants. He talks about the sugya in terms of mechoa. Mechoa, according to the Rambam, just means that when they do the chalukah later on, the Bechor can say, you know what, I'm not being mevatar on certain things. That's all mechoa is. Mechoa does not mean like the Rashbam and the Rishonim say, he can go claim a chelik Bechor right now. He can't do that, the Rambam holds. His chelik Bechor comes around with a chalukah. They do the chalukah and there are 12 yisomim, so they'll do a chalukah into 13 pieces, 13 parts. That's all it is. You cannot make any claims earlier than that. So what's his machlokus? So Rabbi Balsam was thinking, I think it's in something else that I discussed last time, I'd like to elaborate hopefully, he was saying, and I think it's very nice, that how do you view the chelik Bechorah when in relation to the other nechasim, the chelakim pshutim? You could say, like the Rashbam is saying, the chelik Bechorah is unrelated to them. Chelik Bechorah, a special chelik you can claim anytime you want, prematurely, early, unrelated to the chelakim. The Rambam says, no, the chelik Bechorah is literally a double portion. The Bechorah has the right to two portions. The Shasa Chaluki, he will get two portions. Chelik Bechorah has a few small differences in the chelik Bechorah. We have in Kuf Chaf Dalet in terms of what kind of shach you can get from it. But basically, the chelik Bechorah, the Rambam says, Yorish receives a Shasa Chaluka, because it's just part of the Yerusha. Everyone else gets one portion, he gets two portions. It's at the time of the Chaluka, he gets this double portion. It's a regular portion. It's a regular chelik. It's a regular Yerusha. It just happens to be doubled. That's what the Rambam holds. Whereas the Rashbam and most Rishonim say, no, it's a totally different type of chelik, unrelated to the chelik Bechorah. The chelik Pasha. I think this fits in very nicely. In the last chibur, unfortunately, I'm a little bit fast, but one point I really wanted to say, and I failed to say it, this fits in with the Rambam Shitaso Mamish. We had a machlokus, the Rambam versus the Ravid. It's really the Rambam versus almost every Rishon that we have. How to learn the Gemara in Kuf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara there talks about the Bechor getting Shvach. The Chachamim say that the Bechor does not get the Shvach of the Nechasim. Even the Shvach that comes the Mela, the Bechor does not get. However, at the end of the Sugya, we have an additional little section. And it says there, there's Kuf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. It says, Amra Papa Dikla V'Alim, if there was a palm tree and it became wider, at the time of the Yerusha, the Petira of the father, it was a narrow palm tree, its branches wide, whatever, became a wider tree. Arav Asik Shirton, if there was some land and it made some topsoil, it's the same exact land, just has some topsoil because of some, I guess, moisture, whatever it is. Pli Amalo Pli Gita Shakal. The Bechor gets that benefit. That Shvach he gets. It's not really a new Heft. It's the same thing. Only if there's a totally different Heftza, metamorphosis in the Heftza. The Heftza used to be one thing. It used to be kernels, and it turned into blossoms, and it turned into fruit or something like that. Totally different Heftza. In that case, the Bechor does not get the new Heftza. That kind of Shvach, a total Shinoi in the Heftza, total new Heftza, that the Bechor does not get the Shvach. The Rambam, what most Rishonim learn, the Ravid, who argues around, most Rishonim learn, all this is saying is that the Chachamim simply say, the only time the Shvach the Bechor gets is a Shvach But it's really the same thing with a little modified. The branches grew wider there in the past year until the meats, until the chaluk, whatever it is. The branches grew wider, or the soil improved, something like that. But if there's but anything more than that, the Bechor does not get. The Rambam learns differently. He says, no. The Papa's statement, as we said, is a total redirection of the Gemara, saying, nope, totally new thing. Which is that Chamim are holding that unless there's a totally new Chefza, the Rambam says, this is in Perek Gimel of Nachlos of Halacha Vav, unless there's a totally new Chefza, Chamim said the Bechor does get the Shvach. If you have the case of the Para, of the cow that gave birth to a calf, the Bechor gets the Shvach, gets the calf, as long as the cow was not being nurtured by the Yisomim in the meantime, the Yadayim. Any Shvach Mimela, unless the totally new Chefza, Shinoi and the Chefza, the Bechor does get, the Rambam learns. So you see the Rambam learns the Chelik Bechorah is not so different than the Chelik Pashut. So the Chelik Pashut, you get Shvach, but the Yisomim get Shvach. So to the Chelik Pashut, the Chelik Bechorah, the Bechor gets Shvach. Only Shvach, which is so radical, which is a totally new Chefza, he does not get. The Shvach that comes Mamela, even if it's some type of Shinoi, if it's not a total Shinoi Chefza, the Bechor will get. That's how the Rambam learned. The Bechor will get Shvach. So the Gemara change course, the Bechor will get Shvach. Most Shurim say, no, the Bechor does not get Shvach, period. We pass my comment, everyone agrees. So you see the Rambam holds already there. The Bechor gets Shvach. The Shitaso, like our boss name, Shitaso. Because the Chelik Bechor is really like the Chelik Pashut. Slight differences, but it basically is in the category of a chelik pashut. It's a double portion, basically. Therefore, we get shvach. So the chelik pashut includes shvach. Chelik bechor includes shvach, unless it's a totally different, radically new chefta. Otherwise, it gets the shvach. Other rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and they say no. Chelik pashut, one gets shvach. Chelik bechor, there is no shvach, unless it's only a slight modification that became a fatter, a thicker branch. But no shvach goes to the bechor, because the chelik bechor is a totally different type of Rusha than the Chelik Pashut, and therefore the Rambam is the Shitas. The Chelik Bechor is a double portion that basically is almost identical to the Chelik Pashut. Other Rishonim say, no, it's radically different, therefore you can claim it early, it has nothing to do with the Chelik Pashut. That's the Rashbam, and that really was how the Shitas. So too, in terms of how to learn the Gemara here, the fact that the Rambam, as you said, says that the holds the Bechor, this again in Perek Gibel Nachlas Halach Avav, the Bechor basically does get Shvach, unless it's a totally new Chefza, radically new Chefza, otherwise it gets Shvach. So that Lashitasu explains how the Rambam learns the Gemara. Again, we said the Gemara here, just to go back for a second, Rabba says that if the grapes were harvested and the Bechor was Mocha, he takes a claim, whatever, he gets the value of the harvested grapes. However, though, Rabba says, continues in the Gemara, we saw if they make the grapes into wine and the wine is an improvement, the Bechor does not get that. Because that does not get that. That's a regular Shvach Kedayim, he does not get that. Grapes turn into wine, he does not get. A Shvach he does not get. However, if there was a depreciation, or Yosef said there's a depreciation though in the value, and the Bechor made a claim in the Nechassim, he will lock in and get the higher value. He locked into grapes before they were crushed into wine, that it was a disappointment, and spoiled or spilled or whatever, and vinegar was very, very, almost valueless, the Bechor is locked in and got the chelik. Rabbi and Yosef therefore agree. Rabbi says that the Bechor does not get the new heft of the wine, but he will also lock into the grapes to get the value before it became spoiled wine, if that's the case. However, and therefore, the Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi are not disagreeing. That's how the Rosh Hashanah learned, including the Rashbam. The Rambam says, no, he does not accept what Rav Yosef said. The Rambam says, the machlokas, Rabbi Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef again says, if they made the grapes into wine or grape juice and it's spoiled, so Rav Yosef says, whereas Rabbi says, you can make a claim and you can protect himself and have a value in the grapes. Rav Yosef said, nope, too bad. You can't. Rabbi says that you can lock in before the grapes are harvested. But if the grapes are turned into wine, Rabbi says too bad. The Bechor does not benefit. The Bechor gets nothing out of it. Yosef says, no, the Bechor can protect himself. He can make a claim. The Rambam paskins against Rav Yosef. I'm like Rabbi. He holds the machlokas to Gemara. Why is that? Because the Rambam, since he holds Shitasa, that the Bechor, the Chelik Bechor is not a new type of kinyan, not a new type of Yerusha. It's part of the regular Yerusha. Therefore, it's inconceivable for the Bechor to stake a kinyan in these grapes prior to them being crushed and prior to them spoiling. That does not shy if the Rambam holds. It's not possible. The Chelik Bechor comes along with the Chaluk, with all the Yisomim. One cannot claim it earlier. Therefore, if the Bechor's Mochi says, I want to make Akin like Kenya now before it spoils into rotten vinegar or spills whatever it is, and the depreciation value. Ram says, it doesn't work because Chelik Bechorah cannot be, it does not have its independent existence. One can claim it earlier, it comes about with Rishas Chalukah, too bad. That's where the Rambam passes against Rav Yosef. So Rambam has the Chalukah in the Gemara, the Shitasa. Let's say that the Bechor, going back a second to the earlier case, the Bechor is Moche at the time the grapes are harvested. They don't listen to him. Let's assume the Bechor can make a Kenyan. He's Moche, he makes a Kenyan. He has a Chelik in the, according to the Rashbam, let's say. The grapes, they don't listen. Okay, fine, then they harvest the grapes. Then they're Dorich the grapes afterwards. And they Dorich the grapes, again, let's say he's Moche, the grapes spoil. Okay, so according to the Rashbam and the Rishonim are going to like him, the Bechor has made a Kenyan in the grapes earlier, and therefore, even if they spoil, and they are reduced from $150 of grapes to $20 of spoiled wine, the Bechor has $150, he has a Chelik in that $150 portion. At what point does the Bechor collect? In other words, originally, he originally made Mocha when there were grapes that were unharvested still on the vine. And they harvested them, and they crushed them. So, the Yisomim who were Mashana these grapes into wine, it's a Gezel, it's a Shinoi was Kona, Shinoi Maisa, they have to pay for the grapes of the Bechor that he had a share in, a ownership in, a Kenyan. At what point do they have to pay? Do they pay for the value of the grapes in the Bechor's first Mocha when they're still on the vine? Or do they pay for the value of the grapes at the time that they were harvested right before they were crushed, when they did their actual gazela, when they crushed them into wine that turned out to be depreciated, spoiled, lacking value wine, whatever it is? At what point do they pay? So Rashbam says that the Bechor gets the value of the grapes that were harvested. It was Mocha, and originally at the time before they harvested the grapes, Mocha, let's say again, before they crush the grapes, he gets the value of the grapes that were harvested, which is a higher value, as I said, because harvest grapes are more valuable than grapes that have not been harvested. It costs time and labor and so forth to harvest them. The Torah learns like the Rashbam for everything else except for this one point. He says, no, the Bechor gets the value of the grapes originally, the original grape prior to being harvested, the grapes when they were on and they were part of the Karen. What's that machlokas? Like the Rashbam says again, when they crush the wine, pay the Bechor the value of the grapes that were already harvested, they were plucked. The Torah says, no, they pay in the time of the grapes when they were on the vine. What's the machlokas? So we have a klal, the person who steals, whether Kenever, they have to shake Shas Kenever, Shas Gezela. So what is the Shas Kenever, Shas Gezela? How do we define this? This is the machlokas Tachorim. I've also heard we're thinking the same thing on this. How do you define the Shas Kenever Gezela? On the one hand, when was the actual taking? When was the actual Shinoi? It was when they transformed the harvested grapes into wine. That was the actual shame. That was the actual deprivation. When they went ahead, they deprived, they destroyed the value at that time. However, they began their, I think that's not the proper word to use for this. They began their act of gezela in terms of the act of depriving the Bechor of his grapes. Mishas Betzira, when they started harvesting them. He didn't give them permission to harvest. He said, don't take them. They went ahead and they harvested them anyway. So that's the question. How do you define a Maisa Gzela or Maisa Gneva? Do you define it as Shas Hefsid? In other words, that the Hefsid itself defines the Maisa Gzela. Or no, that's not the Maisa Gzela. The Hefsid, of course, is the reason that there's a Chiyuv for Gzela. The Maisa Gzela is defined by the process. The process of confiscation began at the time they harvested against the will of the Bechor. They harvested, then they went Baitre and they crushed them. They did two things to deprive him of his Nechassim. They harvested, which was not a Shinoi Maisa. They just taking them off the vine. They didn't destroy the grapes in any way. They didn't modify the grapes. But they harvested them, then they crushed them. So there are two actions they did. Two acts they did to deprive that were actually to deprive the poor of his nechassim. That is permission against his will. So if you say the hefsid itself, the hefsid is defined to gezela, then that's the Rashbam. Therefore, they have to pay kishas gezela, kishas crushing, or kishas dricha. They have to pay how much they were worth right before they crushed them, which is when they were already harvested. If you say the gezela, though, is the entire confiscation process, even before they went ahead and destroyed the value, and their mops of the grapes. But the whole process, the original process of going against the will without authorization, manipulating these grapes, began originally when they harvested them. Therefore, and that's the Torah. The Torah says the whole process of deprivation, even before the hefsid, the whole process is called Maisa Gezela. It's a legal Maisa. That's a Gezela. It contains a hefsid. The Maisa began B'Shas Betzira. Therefore, they paid the value prior to the Gezela, which means they paid the value of pre-harvested grapes. And that's what the Torah holds in this. We have a Kasha. There's a Kasha brought by many Rishonim, notably the Rashba mentioned this kasha, the Ram, the Ritva, these people Rishonim bring a kasha, great kasha, they say. They say, how can it be that Rav Papa says here, one second please, let's go to the Levite, I'm sorry. The Gemara at the bottom, we're a little bit short of time, I don't want to read, but the Gemara at the bottom says that if the Bechor basically, that the Bechor goes ahead, and let's say that they're dividing up, they reached the Shatz of Chalukah, no Chalukah took place until now, the Bechor goes ahead and he takes his Chalik Pashers, but he fails to claim his Chalik Bechor. Again, there are 12 Yisomim, let's say, and everyone gets a Chalik Pashers, and the Bechor doesn't say, oh, I needed the Chalik Bechor also. He fails to speak up. He just walks away the Chalik Pashers happily, and that's it. So they say he was Mavatar as Chelik Bechorah. He was Mochel as Chelik Bechorah. He didn't claim it, and therefore it's a Vitor, it's a Mechila. That's the way that there's Machlokes in Gemara. That's one opinion. The other opinion in Gemara? Okay. That's still tough in Gemara. So how can the Rishon, these Rishon, the Rashba, the Ritva, and the Ran asks, how according to Rav Papa can a Bechor go ahead and be Mochel as Chelik Bechorah? If you said the Chelik Bechorah is the Yesh Lo the Bechor, if you said the Bechor has the Chelik Bechorah in the Nechassim prior to the Chalukah, Machlokes and Gemara, if you said the Bechor has a Chelik in the Nechassim prior to the Chalukah, and the Yerushalayim are, that's the way we posit, and that's how the Yerushalayim learn the Gemara, the Mamash has a Chelik in it, not just a Chus Tavia, but he has a Chelik in it. How can it be Mochel? If you own something, you can't be Mochel. A watch on my wrist, I can't say, you know what, I'm Mochel this watch. It doesn't work. I have to do a kingdom. It's mine. The property is yours. You must mock it to somebody. You cannot be Mochel. So if the Bechor has a Chelik in the Nechassim prior to the Chalukah, he can't be Mochel. It's his. He has to make a formal kinyan. He mocked it away to the other Yisomim. They asked us the Kach, they're trying to mask. How can it be that the Bechor can be Mochel or Mevatar Mochel on the Nechassim if he has it already, he just hasn't, you know, physically defined it, but it belongs to him. So there are two major Mahalachim here, the Ran and the Ritva. The Ritva says like this. He says that the way he phrases it, without the Lamedus, he phrases it, he says, you know what, the Bechor, he only has a chelik in the Bechorah only for transactional purposes, for purposes of Mechira and Nesina. The Gemara talks about a Bechor goes ahead and he sells the chelik Pasha and the chelik Bechorah in the Yerusha prior to the Chalukah. So that sale, the Gemara says, is a good sale. It's a good sale. You can go ahead and make a sale. But the Ritva says, you know what, he has this chelik Bechorah for transactional purposes. He can make a Mechira on it, for you and a Sina to it, but it's really not fully his. Somehow it's not really fully his. Only for his for certain purposes in transaction. It's really not fully his though. That's the Ritva. We'll explain hopefully in a minute what that means. The Ran says that, you know what? The Bechor really, he has nothing yet. He just has his chus to claim and receive the Chelik Bechorah. Now the Ran is not saying like a Menuchin Lanel, which is you just have as a chus, because there is no Chelik Bechorah contained in the Nechassim. The Ran himself learns, like the Rashbam, basically the whole Sugya, the Ran learns that there is a Chelik Bechorah somehow in the Nechassim. It doesn't just disappear, it exists in the Nechassim. So what does the Ran mean? That he says the Bechor has a chus to claim and receive the Chelik Bechorah. What does that mean? So I think Machlok is like this. See, prior to the Chalukah, as we said, these Rishonim learned there is a Chelik Bechorah somehow undefined floating around in the Yerusha, the Chassim. The question is, what is this Chelik Bechorah and how does the Bechorah relate to it? According to the Ritva, it seems like this. The Chelik Bechorah is really, it's an undeveloped Chelik. As opposed to saying, like, say you have Shushim, you have partners. Even if we don't know which part of the field each partner owns, but we know that they have a certain percentage. We know that they have a complete kinyan. The question is, being Mavarit, who has what? But there's no question in terms of the kinyan that the Shutvim has. Contrast to what Ritva seems to hold, that the Chelik Bechorah is an in-process, it's developing, not yet developed. It's somehow contained, inherent within the Nechassim, in the Rusha, but it's an undeveloped Chelik. And it's undeveloped. On the one hand, it's meaningful on a certain level. You can negotiate with it. You can do a mechira to it. It's a meaningful mechira, and later on, whoever buys it can claim it. And so too, if the Bechor right now says, "I want now to be mocha to claim it," he can claim it right now. But until something is done with it, it's basically an undefined, ethereal, abstract chelik within the Yerusha, but the Bechor doesn't actually have a kinyan in his b'taras chafetz. It's just an undefined chelik in Yerusha, and therefore that's the reason that that the, if the, let's say before the Bechor is Mocha, there's no Gezel, there's no Gezela. Only if he's Mocha, and the Yisrael make the Yoshinoi, and they make the grapes into wine, is that a Maisik Gezela. Before he's Mocha, though, there's no Gezel. Because it's not a defined Chefza. But you can do a Gezel on a Chefza. If you own a Chefza, you're a partner or the full owner of a Chefza. But here, the Bechor has this ethereal, undescript, undefined Chalik floating around. He's floating around. It's his, but it's not defined in the Nechassim. That's something that's not subject to Gezel. It's still an in-process Kinyan, in-process Chalik. The Ron, though, seems to say differently. He says, you know what, there is a chelik the Bechor has in there. But you know what the chisaron is? It doesn't relate to the Bechor. It's like a person who has a ticket to claim a prize. The prize exists, and you have a ticket, but until you use that ticket, that prize is not yours. You are not the owner of that prize. It still belongs to whoever is going to give you the prize. And that's the way the Ron seems to learn it. It's Mefurish almost in the Rosh on the Ron, that he doesn't own it yet, basically. He has his chus to it, his chus to claim it, claiming rights, but he doesn't own it yet. And that's the reason the Ram will say that, you know what, the Bechor, he can go ahead, and if he's mochel, he's mochel, because it's not fully his. But Fos is mechila worse, because really, it's not a defined chelik. It's too abstract, it's not solidified, it's in process. Therefore, something like that is not something that all you need is mechila. The Ron says mechila will work, because the chelik Bechor that's in that chelik is just as a chus to the, it has a chus to claim it. It's not really his yet. One last thing, Rosh Hashem. There's a machlokus, the Rashbam versus Tosfos. It's really Rashbam versus, I think, all the Rishonim as far as I've seen so far, in the following. Let's say that the Bechor wants to go ahead and he wants to sell the Chelik Pashut, not the Chelik Bechor. He sells the Chelik Pashut in the Yerusha before Chalukah. So the Bechor, if he goes in the Chalukah and sells the Chelik Bechor, Gemara says that would fine, that would work. He sells the chelik pashut of his siblings, that avadi does not work. Let's say he sells to somebody. I'm selling you. He says, selling you my chelik bechor, my chelik pashut together. He sells it to somebody. Does that work or not for the chelik pashut? Can he sell it or not? So, according to the opinion of the Gemara, the bechor does have that he would have a share. This is on the top of Kuf Chaf, above on the base actually. That mechira is that Tosfos Rosh Hashem learned. That's a good mechira. The mechira that the Bechor sells the chelik pashut before chalukah is a good mechira. The lashon of the Ron actually says he compares to shutfin. He says just like a shutuf, even if like a shutuf can sell his share. Let's say the shutuf haven't done a chalukah yet. They haven't even defined who owns which part of the field. They have 50-50 ownership. They haven't decided who owns what part. But if one shutuf sells a share, it's a good mechira. The Ron says the chelik pashut is no different. It's like a shutuf. If a Bechor or anybody that they really sells a chelik pashut before the chalukah, it's like shutfus. It's a good mechira, no problem at all. They need to wait for the chalukah maybe, but the mechira is a valid mechira. Rashbam though says no. Rashbam says the chelik pachor within this day in the Gemara you can sell. The chelik pashut cannot be sold. The question is why? Why can it not be sold? So I thought maybe the pshat would be as follows. The question is, how does one view the Yerusha Kodim to Chalukah, Kodim Chalukah? The chelik pachor we discussed, what are the chelik pashut? How does one view all the chalakim pashutim Kodim to Chalukah? So the simple way to say it, which is the way, I mean, I guess you get it simple, whatever, the way that Ram learned, the Tosfos learned, and Moshe Shem learned this way, which Ross said the same thing from Rashba. It's basically like Shutfim who haven't divided, Shutfim Shlo Chilku, Shutfim who haven't divided yet. They all have a share, they haven't delineated their shares, but they just haven't gotten around to it, but they can sell. They have a full kinyan, each of them in his share, and every chelik pashut, and they can sell them. The Rashbam, I think, learns differently. He says, you know what, it's not really Shutfos, it's not. Why? Because the chelik, the idea of Yerusha is a process. It's not just a one split second thing. Like Yerusha takes place a split second, and they can decide to do a chalukah when they want later. But the chalukah is just a practicality, just deciding who gets what. But really, the Yerusha took place on the spot, and the chalukah is just an after effect, just a practical thing they can take care of. Like shutfim, they go into partnership, and later on they can decide to dissolve it or to sell it or to define who gets what share. It's not the way at all. The Rashbam would say, you know what, the case of shutfim of Yerushim Shlo Chilku is before the chalukah. If the Yerusha is still in process, the Yerusha begins at the time of the Ketir of the Father, and it's in process until the Chalukah. Until the Chalukah, the Yerusha is still in process. Therefore, it's not subject to sale. It's not a Shutfus. Shutfus is there's total ownership. They just haven't gotten around to dissolving it or defining it or selling it off yet. They're dividing it up, breaking it up. But in the case of Yerusha, it's totally different. Yerusha is a process. The Shas, the Ketir of the Father, is the beginning of the Yerusha, and the Yerusha ends when they do the Chalukah. And until the Chalukah is done, it's still in process. It's not available. This Yerusha, this Nachala, chasim is not yet available for sale, for negotiated manipulation, anything. We have to wait until the chalukah, then it's available. That's the way the Rashbam learns. It's kiddush, but I think it's what Rashbam learns. The chalukah, the Yerusha, is a process, and until the chalukah is still in process, it's not available. Nothing to do with the shiftless. I think that's pretty much it. Okay, go ahead and start.
When you're selling a chalik b'chor,
This is talking about the chelik pasha. The chelik pasha. That's the chelik. Chelik b'chor. According to the Rambam, right? According to the Rambam, if he sold the chelik b'chor, he would be selling his zechus. If he could sell, it'd be the zechus the chelik b'chor. According to the other Rishonim, though, since they say that the chelik b'chor. See, if you say according to Rabbi Chananel and maybe the Rambam, he's selling the zechus to chelik b'chor. According to the other Rishonim, the Rashbam, the Ran, the Ritva, the Rashbam, the Rashba, they would say that the chelik b'chor, it may not be identified or a matured chelik, but it still is a meaningful chelik there. And since the Torah calls it a matana kari rechmana, he has the right to go ahead and sell that chelik b'chor. He's really selling an undefined chelik. Whoever buys it, the chor can go ahead and claim it right away. Like the chor can claim right away. Whoever else can also claim it right away. He can declare right away what it is and that he wants it and so forth. But he is selling something. He's selling that chelik b'chor that exists somehow within the Yerusha. He's selling that. Except for Rabbeinu Chananel and probably the Rambam, who say you're selling a zechus. That would be the difference.